Jugupsitam. Verily condemned. Dharma krite. For the matter of religion. Anushasataha. Instruction. Sadhava raktasya. Naturally inclined. Mahan. Great. Beti kramaha. Unreasonable. Jat baikataha. Under whose instruction? Dharmaha. Religion. Iti. It is thus. Itaraha. The people in general. Sthitaha. Fixed. Na. Do not. Mannate. Think. Tasya. Of that. Nibaranam. Prohibition. Janaha. There. Jugupsitam dharma krite anushatak shasataha. Sabhavaka sabhava raktasya mahan beti kramaha. Jagvyakta dharma iti tarasita. Na mannate tasya nivaranam janaha. Jugupsitam dharma krite anushasataha. Sabhava raktasya mahan beti kramaha. Jad baikato dharma iti tarasita. Na mannate tasya nivaranam janaha. Please chant. Jugupsitam dharma krite anushasataha. Sabhava raktasya mahan beti kramaha. Yad bhakyato dharma iti tarasita. Na mannate tasya nivaranam janaha. Jugupsitam dharma krite anushasataha. Sabhava raktasya mahan beti kramaha. Yad vakyato dharma iti tarasita. Jugupsitam dharma krite anushasataha. Sabhava raktasya mahan beti kramaha. Yad vakyato dharma iti tarasthito. Na mannate tasya nivaranam janaha. Jugupsitam dharma krite anushasataha. Sabhava raktasya mahan beti kramaha. वाक्यं Translation and the purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki jai.
Today class is supposed to be given by one person. He changed to another person and another person.
Then they
call me last night, text me of them. Three of them.
Didn't want to come. Nothing to do with coronavirus. Actually, one has something to do. Not directly, but somebody related. Something. But we are very fortunate. We have 10. Look at that. We have 10 here. And in Mayapur, somebody sent me the text. They have 5,000 devotees. And in the temple and class, guess how many people?
Five.
Two.
Bhakti Mark Swami and Jibana. That's it. One lead, one do kirtan, and one speak. One.
They have guys with guns.
They don't allow anybody else. But 5,000 are there. They're all locked in their own room. Kali Yuga. So, but we are lucky. We are very fortunate in Alachua. And thanks to Mother Mukhya also to keep us alert and safe. Translation. The people in general are naturally inclined to enjoy. And you have encouraged them in that way in the name of religion. Who is speaking to who? Who remembers?
Narduni is
speaking to?
Vyasdev.
Very good. So Narduni is speaking to Vyasdev directly. The people in general are naturally inclined to enjoy. And you have encouraged them in that way in the name of religion. This is verily condemned and is quite unreasonable. Because they are guided under your instruction, they will accept such activities in the name of religion and will hardly care for prohibition. Srila Prabhupada gave a beautiful big purport. And let's see how much we can get. Srila Vyasdev's compilation of different Vedic literature on the basis of regulated performances of fruitive activities as depicted in the Mahabharata and other literature is condemned herewith by Srila Narada. The human beings, by long material association, life after life, have a natural inclination by practice to endeavor to lord it over material energy. They have no sense of the responsibility of human life. This human form of life is a chance to get out of the clutches of illusory matter. The Vedas are meant for going back to Godhead, going back home, to revolve in the cycle of transmigration in the series of lives numbering 8,400,000 is an imprisoned life for the condemned conditioned souls. The human form of life is a chance to get out of this imprisoned life. And as such, the only occupation of the human being is to re-establish his lost relationship with God. Under the circumstances, one should never be encouraged in making a plan for sense enjoyment in the name of religious functions. Such diversion of the human energy results in a misguided civilization. Srila Vyasdev is the authority in the Vedic explanations in the Mahabharata, etc. And this encouragement in sense enjoyment in some form or other is a great barrier for spiritual advancement, because the people in general will not agree to renounce material activities which hold them in material bondage. At a certain stage of human civilization, when such material activities in the name of religion, as sacrificing animals in the name of Jagna, were too much rampant, The Lord incarnated himself as Buddha and decried the authority of the Vedas in order to stop animal sacrifice in the name of religion. This was foreseen by Narada, and therefore he condemned such literature. The flesh eaters still continue to perform animal sacrifice before some demigods or goddess in the name of religion, because in some of the Vedic literature such regulated sacrifices are recommended. They are so recommended to discourage flesh eating, but gradually the purpose of such religious activity is forgotten and the slaughterhouse becomes prominent. This is because foolish materialistic men do not care to listen to others who are actually in a position to explain the Vedic rites. In the Vedas, it is distinctly said that the perfection of life is never to be attained either by voluminous work or by accumulation of wealth or even by increasing the population, but it is so attained only by renunciation. The materialistic man do not care to listen to such injunction. According to them, the so-called renounce order of life is meant for those who are unable to earn their livelihood because of some corporal defects, or for persons who have failed to achieve prosperity in family life. In histories like the Mahabharata, of course, there are topics on transcendental subjects along with the material topics. The Bhagavad Gita is there in the Mahabharata. The whole idea of the Mahabharata culminates in the ultimate instruction of Bhagavad Gita, that one should relinquish all other engagement and should engage oneself solely and fully in surrendering unto the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. But men with materialistic tendencies are more attracted to the politics, economics and philanthropic activities mentioned in the Mahabharata than to the principal topics, namely the Bhagavad Gita. This compromising spirit of Vyasadeva is directly condemned by Narada, who advises him to directly proclaim that the prime necessity of human life is to realize one's eternal relationship with the Lord and thus surrender unto him without delay. A patient suffering from a particular type of malady is almost always inclined to accept eatable which are forbidden for him. The expert physician does not make any compromise with the patient by allowing him to take partially what he should not at all take. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is also said that a man attached to fruitive work should not be discouraged from his occupation, for gradually he may be elevated to the position of self-realization. This is sometimes applicable for those who are only dry, empiric philosophers without spiritual realization. But those who are in the devotional line need not be always so advised. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. This purport is enough. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnanjana Salakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namah Vanchakalpataru Vishya Kripasindubhaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivacharya Guru Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So these words, when I read this early morning today to prepare, I was thinking that what is the difference between Bhagavad followers and so-called religious or Mahabharat followers? In the material world, more or less everybody belongs to some sect or some religion. What is the difference between pure Krishna consciousness, that is Bhagavad philosophy that Narad Muni wants to establish, and he is condemning, pointing out the mistake the Vyasadeva did by promoting so-called religion? To go back in the Brahma Sanhita, it explains that originally every soul in their form or constitutional structure, there is no trace of Maya. Then how possible who has no trace of Maya is falling under Maya or enjoying Maya? How is possible? So then we see that Brahma Sanhita explains, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, many acharyas, and Prabhupada gave many, many examples in Bhagavatam. When something is formed, structured, a particular nature is born from that structure. Not necessarily what the elements are. Maya is also Krishna's energy. We are also Krishna's energy. That doesn't mean same. What is the difference? And where is the difference are born or coming from? From the structure. Just like I was a geologist and gemologist, before I graduated. And in our study, I remember, it says that what is the difference between the diamond and graphite? Both are made of carbon. But if you put the diamond on a book or anywhere, it cuts everything, but it remains intact, nothing happened. But the graphite, you put it anywhere, it loses its structure. So then question coming, both are made of carbon, but why one has such a different nature than the other one? Because how it is formed. So the graphite formed in a hexagraphy. The atomic structure is such a way that anywhere you put the graphite, it drops from its original structure. And the diamond, it builds in isometric formation. Isometric means the atomic structure is so tight. There is no room anything else to go in. As a result, it cuts everything else. It's the hardest mineral in the world till today. Or even though both are same elements. So we are both are same energy. Material energy is also Krishna's energy. Living entity is also Krishna's energy. Internal potency also Krishna's energy. Krishna has unlimited energy. Is the all energies are same? No. Each energy is known by its function. And each energy has a inheritance quality, what needs to be focused. If we cannot focus on that, then not possible to see what is his real dharma or duty. Nitya dharma, there is a dharma. Dharma means the word Sanskrit dharma. Dharma. Dharma means hold. E dharo, we say. Dharo. You hold it. Dhar. Ma means the essential elements. What is holding? What is our chetana, consciousness holding? It is our dharma. So the soul's, atma's origin, nature is three things. His position as a servant of Krishna, his function as a service, and his nature is love. And you'll see in the Bhagavatam many purport Prabhupada writes, love, beloved, and lover. And somewhere Prabhupada say, serve, service, and servant. It's the same thing. Where this coming from? From the ghatan, from the structure, how the soul originally structured. The inherent nature is concomitant factor. Concomitant factor means it is not possible to separate from its origin. So Prabhupada give example like fire with burning quality. Which fire burns? Whether it's American fire or Indian fire, any fire, it always will burn. So why? Because the burning quality is a concomitant factor of the fire. That's what fire is made of, burning quality. Similarly, the soul pleasure seeking by nature, you can never separate pleasure seeking and the soul two separate. Not possible. Any philosophy that gives us idea not to enjoy, it's doing harm to us. Anybody here ever sing that song? Bhaktivinoda Thakur even wrote a song. Just imagine, you are given a choice in a place to live. One room, you're going to live 10 years. He didn't say 10 years, I'm just putting. 10 years, you will be stuck with one person in that room. You have a choice between these two. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, one choice is, one guy, he doesn't care about spiritual life, he likes to enjoy like wild enjoyer. Making music of enjoyment, he's just dancing, it's like wild. And another guy, he's serious about spiritual life, but he doesn't believe in God's eternal form, it's impersonal. And he's very restrictive. No nonsense talk, just very steady, sit down and chant Om something. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur say, which room would you, which person would you like to stay? Can you answer, please?
The first one.
First one means?
The one who is
sense enjoyer.
Yeah.
Everybody agrees with her? Or somebody don't agree? You take the second one. We should take a vote and see who.
No. Vote,
it has in the song. You cannot blow it. We're just making it fun. Okay, that's true. No vote.
Only
Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That's true. So the song says, what Mother Madhumati says, yes. Because the natural tendency of the soul is to enjoy in loving service. So even though the person who is a sense enjoyer is close to the, even though it's artificial, but it's close to the original existence of the soul. You follow? And to be impersonalist and literally diminishing, like Prakashananda did, Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur, diminishing that God has no form, no leg, no hand, no eyes. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very angry, and Prabhupada put this in the purport of 25th chapter, Madhalila, that how Prakashananda was cutting God's body, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body every day. Can you imagine how painful it is? Mahaprabhu himself is saying, that's why he said, I give him leprosy. So he got a leprosy. I guess Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur had a leprosy before. This is from Chaitanya Bhagavat, but Prabhupada put this in the purport. Very nice. So this is a nice thing to think, meditating, that our original existence has a love in nature, our function as a servant, as service, and position as a servant. These three things will never change. And our highest happiness is in that figure, in that position, when we can act on that, this with these three things. This is called Krishna consciousness. This is called constitutional function of the soul. Now what Vyasadeva did something like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went in the morning before takes some before takes sannyas, he went on a morning walk with all his boys. Mahaprabhu does this every day. One day he went, he said, I'm going to go and see this Brahmana's house. He's very religious, everybody comes to his house. So he went inside the house and he saw there is a Narayan Shalagram and they are all sitting there. And guess what they offer to Narayan? Little batasa. Batasa means some kind of candy and a raw rice. So Nimai, of course Nimai is known, but not known as the Supreme Personality of Godhead yet. But they know he is the best scholar in the whole world. So Nimai asked the Brahmana, do you eat this raw rice? And the Brahmana felt like insulted, you know, in front of... When you insult privately is one thing, when you insult in public is another thing. And it was like, he felt like attacked. In front and top all the Brahmanas, Nimai asked, Do you eat raw rice? So Nimai, why are you asking this question? Well, you offered to Narayan, you want him to eat the raw rice. You know, raw rice means uncooked. What do you eat? He said, I eat, my wife cooks, we have a feast. Oh, you eat feast, but as for Narayan, you give a raw rice. Now, this is not an old thing. Even in my childhood, I saw people in the house, they put a little candy for the deity. When they eat luxury. Have you seen like this in the village? In America you may not see, but in the village in India, still today, is there. The greatest thing Prabhupada is doing through the Namhatta, they're literally taking over. Namhatta actually saved the conditioned soul in India. Namhatta literally took over, like village after village. So then, this Brahmana felt so humiliated and he challenged with Mahaprabhu. Why are you challenging me? I am a Brahmana, I have a big status, you are asking me, you are challenging me this way? Nimai Pandit, Mahaprabhu has so much compassion. He wanted to give this Krishna consciousness to him, but this man is not ready. He is argumentative. So three things we can remember. This is from 5th canto, 3rd chapter, 32 verse. Nahi adhuta tat charanam bhuja renubhi hata anghasa bhakti adakshaje amala muhurtikad jas samagata tatme dustarka mula apahata abiveka. Three things bind the conditioned soul in the material world, and one thing will liberate them. This verse is so sweet. One thing if we can do, we'll be forever free from Maya. And why people are in the Maya? Because of these three things they are contaminated with. Dustarka. Dustarka, you know, tarka means argumentative. Argumentative doesn't mean with somebody else only. It's also within you. Why did you do this? In your own mind, you are like arguing. Why like this? Why there is so restriction? Why God does this? Why my husband did this? Why my wife did this? You're like all the time argumenting within the mind. You follow? This is not good at all. It says dustarka because it's nothing purifying the soul. Dustarka, and then Prabhupada translates. Beautiful verse. That just by doing one thing, while you are thinking, I'm going to say that we are doing three things what binds or keeps us in the material world. One is dustarka. Then, hata anghasa. Anghasa means false prestige. And this Brahmana had this. So Chaitanya Nimai Pandit, he told him, he said, you are showing off, big Brahmana. Big Pandit. But your intelligence is like a very tiny, but you are so proud. like a big head elephant with a little brain. I never knew that. The elephant means the elephant body, the elephant, the body. They're big, but their intelligence is very little. So Mahaprabhu said, elephant means very little intelligence, big body. You should become elephant. You know what's the mystery about it? In front of others, he actually turned into an elephant. Yeah. He was delivered later on by Rasikananda Murari. You remember the story of Rasikananda Thakur? He went to reform the conditioned soul to Krishna consciousness. Then the Brahmana complained to the Muslim king. The Muslim king was paying attention. He says, why he's doing that? No. Shyamananda is whatever he's doing, but he is not from a Brahmana class. He can convert to his caste, but not convert high caste like Brahmana. But then one day, this Pathan Muslim king, he heard that he converted Muslims. Then he got so angry, he immediately called him out. So the whole pastime took place. That when they came, generally those days, I guess, soldier used to have a big beard, the Muslim soldier, the beard and the turban. So they come in. Shyamananda Prabhu went with the sword, with the kartal, what is the sword? Destroying the sin. Kartal, Mridanga, and he was so much calling out the Lord through the kirtan that he was crying. Then, of course, the devotees in the back, they got a little scared because they saw thousands and thousands of Muslim soldiers coming on a horse ride with a sword and everything. Then all of a sudden they came nearby and they broke some mridanga. But Shyamananda Prabhu, seeing this, he was not disturbed. He was still singing loudly. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then what happened, at one point, this Muslim commander, soldiers, they felt itching in their beard. Unless you have a beard and the itching, you may not know. So they start itching so much that the blood started coming. When the blood started coming, they got scared and they look at each other, all these thousands of soldiers. They all saw the same thing, then they started throwing up blood. Then they were turned back to the king and told the king what happened. They challenged him because he should not have done according to them. He converted his own caste is okay, now he converting the Brahmana, that's not good. But now he converted Muslim, so it's intolerable. So that's why they went to attack. Next day, when the king heard it, he immediately went to the mosque. And he was praying to Allah. I guess Allah must be a form, otherwise who he was praying? I don't know. I was thinking about it. Who he was praying? Must have a form, must be speaking. Otherwise he has to have a ear. Otherwise how would he hear? So anyway, he was praying. Then he kind of spent whole day because he never saw such massacre amongst the soldiers like this. Kind of when, taking nap time or something, he fell unconscious. In the dream, the Allah came. He said, you want to save your life? He says, yes. He said, go take shelter of Shyamananda. Go take shelter of him and all your minister. Surrender to him. Otherwise, I'll destroy you, your family, your kingdom, everything will be destroyed. Of course, the king woke up. It was early morning. He took bath and everything. In the morning, Shyamananda Prabhu had no clue what is going on in the Muslim king's life. He arranged bigger kirtan. When opposition comes, you do bigger sankirtan. And it's a very nice thing. Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur writes in one point of Chandkaji's case, I see the similarity. When we have a problem in our life, what is the best thing we can do? Do you know? Gather some devotee, do kirtan or harikata, heavy. You'll see unbelievable power, empowerment comes. And Mahaprabhu did the same thing with Chandkaji. Before he went on march, he did the kirtan with the group of devotees. And they got so much fired up and they got like overcome their depression of Chandkaji breaking Midanga and other. And then he called for marching. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur pointed out this, that that's what devotee should do. When you feel depressed or not feeling well, chant loudly. Yes, thank you. So then they did the big kirtan. Shyamananda Prabhu now that day made it bigger kirtan. When he went a huge kirtan, and the devotees in the back got scared because they again saw thousands and thousands of soldiers coming. And this time something special, because the king himself is coming in the front. They thought, oh my God, what is going to happen? They only broke few midanga, but they went back. Maybe something would be horrible. But their leader, this is important. I like this. Because that's what exactly what Prabhupada's mood is. Prabhupada wants at least core of devotees should be very serious and sincere. And it's so good, believe me. I'm not trying to make you feel good. I am observing. Some of the ISKCON leaders are so good, so serious and so sincere. This movement will go on forever. I mean, at least 10,000 years. But this is so good. No, really, they are so sincere and so dedicated. So, Shyamananda Prabhu was like that. He was so sincere and so serious, dedicated leader. And he kept on crying and singing of Radha Krishna's pastime and Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Then all of a sudden, they informed, the king has come. He wants to meet you. Shyamananda Prabhu, as if he was not hearing, but he was still singing. At one point he sat down and was very mystical that actually king, they do namaz, you know, opposite than the Hindus. So he fell flat like a Vaishnava. And then Shyamananda Prabhu says, you have something to say? And he said, yes, I have a big story to say. But I do not want to take your valuable time. Please accept me as your disciple. From today, I am yours. Then Shyamananda Prabhu immediately embraced him, gave him blessing. All the Muslim ministers, soldiers, they all got initiated. It was very mystical. And who was there in that assembly? Rishikananda Prabhu. So when he faced the challenge with that elephant that Mahaprabhu gave kind of a punishment, you can say. Even though he was a religious person, but his conduct of the religious was not evoking anybody's affection for God. So the fine point in the translation, Prabhupada says, naturally every living entity in this world has an inclination for sense enjoyment. When they come to religious function, not the Hare Krishna function, the regular religious, they think of two things. Whatever enjoyment I'm doing, I want it increase more. And I want to defend it. That's it. You want to protect your enjoyment and increase it and defend it. Increase it more and defend it. This is the only purpose people go to the temple, church, synagogue and others. You'll ever find anybody really comes to serve God, to give Himself. Biggest difference, even in our society, sometimes we see a lot of people come, they give some money, which is good. But the difference between Bhagavatam follower and religious follower, so-called religious or Mahabharata follower, that Bhagavat followers, they give themselves to Krishna, then they bring other things to offer Him. Everybody is with me? And the Mahabharata followers or Hindu and other followers, they bring other things. They never give themselves to God. We know what's the difference? Vast difference. Opposite. That's why Narad Muni was heavy with Vyasdev. Because it does not solve the purpose. The soul will be still suffering. It will never end until soul gives themselves to Krishna. That is what Krishna consciousness or Bhagavad Dharma is. So I have 5 minutes. If anybody has question, comment, reflection.
Where's that story? I don't remember that story about the Brahmin.
Brahman offering the raw rice. This is maybe third chapter of Bhaktiratnaka.
What?
Bhaktiratnaka. Third chapter and something like that. Or fourth chapter. Any other? Yes, Mother, Madhu. You know how to put it on, Prabhu? Oh, good.
I was just remembering at the Govardhan retreat this year, Satchinanda Maharaj was making the point that when we are cooking, you know, when we are cooking and we make an offering and then we go and offer it to Krishna, he was saying that rather than cooking and then thinking, oh, I offer this to Krishna, he said that almost falls in like the karma yoga. What we should do is that before we start cooking, we think that, oh, I'm going to cook this for Krishna. And that way, that is bhakti.
Very good. Yes. Yes.
Make that point.
Very good. You know, even, it's very interesting. Somebody said that sometimes when you come to the temple, we try to surrender, but seems like suffering never ends. Is there some kind of happiness impetus? And I remember Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gave an example. What was the difference between Kubja and Putana? They both came in contact with Krishna. When Putana came, she was not in a favorable mood. She became Krishna conscious at the end. Kubja also became Krishna conscious at the end. But Kubja's journey from beginning, she was already happy. You know why? Because favorable mood. So whatever you're doing, if you can do it favorable happiness, enthusiasm, and accept that it is a, you know, with gratitude, then you will experience the happiness from beginning journey. Shushukam kartum abhayam. When Krishna says shushukam kartum abhayam, it says that eternally it should be happy from the beginning. So that has to be adjusted in the heart of the person. Yes, Mother.
Krishna, please accept my humble obeisance. So could you mention, please, one more time, what are the three things that bind us to a material world? You said the first one was argumenting that
Dustarka
false prestige. And what
means
else?
False argument.
Mm-hmm. And then false prestige.
And then false prestige. And then abhiveka. Vivek means discriminating power, lack of discrimination, Prabhupada writes. Lack of discrimination. If you can get rid of these three things, you are out from the material world. Discrimination power comes from the sadhu sangha.
You said third canto.
This is fifth canto, thirteenth chapter, 22 verse. 5:13:22.
Get liberated is to give ourselves to Krishna?
You paid attention. Is the sincerely taking shelter of a sadhu. Mm. And I don't have time much, but there is a one verse, it says, what is the definition of sadhu? Say, nirapeksham manim shantam vimatsara samadarsanam anubrajami aham nittam pujayatam grijanivit. Krishna says you have to seek shelter of that kind of sadhu, that who, by whose foot dust I will purify the world. And he says that nirapeksham munim shantam. Nirapeksham means they don't have any sense, any more desire for sense enjoyment. When someone has no more desire for sense enjoyment, he can actually listen and pay attention of the need of others. Because so long, even in my life, I look at it, so long I have some desire to enjoy, I cannot really see the need of others. That's why Krishna says, by those devotees, food dust I'll purify the world. First qualification is a nirapeksham. They are zero sense enjoyment, desire. First, it's a nirapeksham munim shantam. Muni means they are wrapped in my thought. They don't have any time for anything else. They are very quiet to the material sense enjoyment. It's not that they do not do maintain their body. No, no, that's not what it meant. The bodily needs is one thing, but obsession is what creates sin. Obsession. Because when we have a body, body needs maintenance, body needs sleep, body needs eat. But when somebody is obsessed on this, that creates unwanted things, sinful and others. So he said, first is a nirapeksham, munim, shantam. And he is transcendentally situated, so materially disturbance will be there, but he will not be affected.
At the same time, you mentioned that the quality of the soul is to enjoy. Yes, so there's a different type of enjoyment, right?
Quality of the soul?
Yeah, it's like soul that always look for pleasure, yes?
Yes, so, they are made for that. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada say they are like Krishna, we are part of Krishna. Krishna is full of joy, and we are part of that joy, is also joy. Mm-hmm. We should be always joyful.
I mean, like different type of pleasure. Yes, we're talking about
spiritual happiness. Mm-hmm. Because material happiness, I don't mind if it lasts forever, but there is no such thing. Mm-hmm. That's why material happiness we condemn, because it disappoints us. Spiritual happiness, it keeps growing forever.
And to get rid of those obsessions that you mentioned, you need to do more devotional service. Only by devotional service
sadhu,
they can go.
Sadhu Sangha. Without Sadhu Sangha, there is no devotional service. There has to be some under guidance of a devotee who are desireless or materially no desire, but always fully desire to serve Krishna, to talk about Krishna, to chant Krishna's name. They are always desired fully to please Krishna, then material desire will go away. Material desire, if you try to get rid of it without inviting spiritual desire, you may get disappointed. Because the soul's sat-chit potency has a desire and free will, these components. Desire is eternally there with us. But when we focus on spiritual desire, Krishna's service, pleasing Krishna, then material desire go away. Like, if this room is dark, how do we move the darkness? Somebody may say, take the buckets and take the darkness by the buckets. But the best solution is, if you turn on the switch light, all the darkness goes away. So similarly, when we invite Krishna consciousness in the heart, then the material desire disappears. Slowly, slowly disappears.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
You know how to put a stop? You have to stop it and then say, Govinda, Govinda.